All right, everybody, welcome to the podcast. Neil, how's it going this week, man?
That's going better after the unfortunate effects of last week, so it's coming along.
I forget. What the hell was wrong with you last week?
Just like some anxiety related stuff.
I feel you. And let's see, aside from what we're talking about, have you the movie we're talking about tonight, have you consumed any other movies or media, or you're into any games right now? What's going on with you?
I went back to a golden oldie called Lords of Magic, which was probably like the I was telling Gideon, it's probably like the first game I remember playing that had like an in-game cinematic, even if it was always like the same one with a different voiceover. One of those like relics of the past where there's no tutorial and mousing over buttons doesn't tell you what they do, so it's literally just fumble around until you figure things out on your own.
Right. It's most of it's probably in the manual.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember reading the manual on the way home from the game store?
Well, yeah, dude. That
like
was
some of
nice.
the do you remember the Warcraft 3 manual?
No, but it was probably pretty elaborate.
It was like almost a book. And then there was a matching one for Frozen Throne. Like the at one point they were on my bookshelf.
Ooh.
That's pretty
Nice.
awesome.
Oh yeah.
I
Like halfway
remember
thick.
the manuals on Dragon Quest games are exceptionally luxurious. I mean, they're tons of art, and not just like, here's how you boot the game up and here's what the controls are. I mean, it tells you everything, and it they're like very high quality paper. It just feels like a luxury. Same with Nintendo games. I love the illustrations of like Mario's moves and like how you can do all the moves and like what they're supposed to look like and everything. But they're not like the sprites from the game. It's like 2D artist drawings of like what those moves should look like and everything. It's really cool.
Good.
Gideon, how about you? How's it going this week?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. I don't think I've done too much other than watch this movie. Another round that we'll get into pretty soon here. I don't know. I'm still like I haven't got around to it, but I'm still like working on Doom Eternal, the DLC. I'm like decently. I feel like I'm getting close to being done with like the first episode of that. But I've been playing that and a little bit of Fortnite here and there and Marvel Rivals, but other than that, not really doing.
Hey, you're zoomed up right now, dude.
Oh, I do. I will say, I did do this like really long quest to get my succubus in World of Warcraft or my warlock. Dude, it took me like 40 minutes just because I had to like go to the Barrens, and I was like. Dude, it was ridiculous. I was like reading the comments on the quest on like Wowhead, and then I was like following a video guide that was like uploaded a month ago by like a German player. So like everything was in German. And I was like, okay, I really gotta like pay attention. And I was able to get to where I needed to go, but it was like crazy. Like, because even like the comments didn't match like what he was doing in the video. I was like, oh my God. But it was fun.
Well, I'm glad you're struggling so mightily with a 21-year-old game that apparently nobody's written a guide that is in English and is helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I still made it, still made it with the guide, but it was fun. It was like fun embracing the struggle, just like trying to get there and like
Yeah, it makes it
people to
worth it when you
go
get it.
over. Yeah, it was cool.
Makes you feel good. It just wasn't like handed to you, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Glad Doom's going good. And it sounds like you're kind of in a game's holding pattern right now. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Let's see. I finished Yakuza 6, so I'm done with the 0 through 6 epic journey that I went on over the last like 2 years.
Hell yeah.
And I shouldn't say 2 years because I did like Kiwami and Kiwami 2, over the course of like 3 months or something like that. And then within the course of another 3 months, I did 3, 4, 5, and 6.
That's crazy.
Like over since like I probably like this November. So I really mainlined a lot of Yakuza games. So I'm pretty, I don't want to say I'm burnt out. I'm actually like excited to get back into it after like a break, but excited to be done with like basically done with the big Kiryu based games and everything like that. Although it was sold to me as like, this is the Avengers Endgame of the first half of like the Yakuza franchise, and it is really not that at all. I mean, like, Kiryu has walked off into the sunset many times before, and this was a very similar, like, Neil will know what I'm talking about. If somebody in Yakuza does not get shot right here and you see them bleed out onto the ground, they're not dead.
Yeah.
No matter how implausible it's going to be, like somebody will get shot 15 times, but if they don't get shot here, they're going to be fine. They're going to like show up at the end of the game. Yeah, so let's see, I did that, and then I started Metaphor: ReFantazio, and I started Ghostwire Tokyo.
Nice, hell yeah, dude.
So really, really getting the Japanophile stuff out of me. Until Monster Hunter comes out at the end of February. So I'm not going to be able to finish Metaphor before the end of February, but
Do you think that'll be like your just like sl kind of slow burn, kind of chip away at game?
Metaphor.
Metaphor? Mm-hmm.
When I was playing
More.
Persona 5 really heavy, you know, it's just not a game that lends itself well to short play sessions. You know, you got to play it like 10 hours at a time. So I remember like every Saturday for 3 months playing Persona 5, it felt like.
Damn.
You know, like when I was working at the hospital when the game came out. Yeah, so it took a long time, but it was anyway. So we're here this week to talk about the was it Danish
2020.
movie?
Yep.
Yeah,
Danish.
2020. Another Round, starring everybody's favorite Mads Mikkelsen,
Oh yeah.
everybody's favorite Danish. But I don't know if I know any other Danish people off the top of my head.
I have no idea.
The Skarsgårds. Okay,
Oh
the
yeah.
Skarsgårds. Okay.
You got me.
Are they Danish? They're Scandinavian,
Yeah,
certainly.
Scandinavian certainly.
I have no clue.
Oh, they're Swedish.
So yeah, brief, I guess a brief synopsis would be, first of all, who brought this? It was Gideon, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Gideon brought this. Why did you want to bring this movie?
So I basically heard about this movie like a couple of years ago. I watched this like movie guy on YouTube called Karsten Runquist, and he had talked about it and like he kept seeing it. So I just was interested in it and just like literally never got around to it. It sounded interesting, kind of fun. And I like Mads Mikkelsen, everything I've seen him in, but that's like a very, very short list. Like I can only really think of like obviously he's in Death Stranding, but I haven't seen him yet. And he's in Casino Royale.
Right.
And those are like the main things I can really think of off the top of my head.
Right.
But yeah, and I feel like for a quick synopsis, I mean this movie could be like alternatively titled like The Boys See If and Test Their Theory of like Does Drinking Solve All Your Life's Problems and Make Everything Better? Like, and they just test it, and they all like happen to be like teachers too at some school.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess another way to summarize things is that like they're all varying degrees of middle-aged teachers. Although Mads Mikkelsen is like more like my dad's age, so he's like 60, I think, or almost 60. But they're like varying degrees of middle age. It's somebody's 40th birthday. They go out drinking, and somebody brings up, "Hey, I was reading in the scientific journal that this guy thinks that humans naturally have a 0.05 blood alcohol deficiency, and you should be like constantly drinking to keep that up." And they're all like, you know, whatever. And then they decide to like they're all having like various problems, or like their students think they're boring, or you know, whatever. Mads Mikkelsen's wife is like bored with him, and his kids like don't listen to him or whatever. Just so, you know, like just typical like middle-aged shit. And then they all start drinking, and things suddenly get a lot better for everybody until they don't. So that's kind of the plot of the movie. Neil, I'm curious, had you heard anything about this movie before Gideon brought it up?
No. I went into this completely blind. Based on the name and the cover photo that I saw, which is Mads Mikkelsen like taking a long swig from a larger bottle, I thought this was going to be like a like racing movie, like a car racing And it's like, and that was like him like sipping champagne after winning the last round of the, not the Indy 500, but, you know, like a European stock car race or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know anything about it either. I just knew it was Mads Mikkelsen. And based on the art, I assumed kind of like the coloration of the poster, I just kind of assumed it was like a snotty art movie, kind of. And it kind of is, but I, you know, it's like, I don't want to really say it's really highbrow, because I wouldn't describe it that way. It's like a really straightforward kind of, it's like a shockingly straightforward kind of movie.
Yeah, and I think they even described it as like a black, I think, yeah, Wikipedia says a black comedy drama film, which is, it's fairly accurate.
Yeah, like not to give it away, but a lot of the movie is like, to me, was like very predictable. Like,
oh yeah,
I didn't know exactly what it was about until they brought up like, oh, we're gonna do this study on drinking. I was like, oh, I've seen Leaving Las Vegas. you know, this isn't gonna end well for at least one of them.
Yeah,
I mean, okay, so let's. I think we're all itching to get into that then. So high level thoughts. How about you go first, since you brought the movie?
Okay, sure. I mean, I feel like overall I had a really good time. I do agree that it's pretty predictable, like plot wise. Just kind of like who's going to really go off the rails and what the outcome is going to be. Like, I mean, we'll just get into spoilers now, I'm sure. But yeah, one of the characters obviously passes away, and he's kind of the mopey, like late, you know, older singles guy. He's the gym coach who's very sloppy with his drinking, I would say. And Mads like gets a divorce and everything like that. But I think it's like beautifully shot. I think it has some interesting just moments of them having a really fun time. And it is just kind of hilarious how like very straightforward their plan is, and very like minimal thought. They're like, oh, just above, what is it, like 0.5 or 0.5 blood alcohol level. And they... like, it's like they're just like typing it in a Word doc, and that's like all they have. And they have these little breathalyzers with them and everything. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was fun, but I almost, especially with the ending, like there was things I liked, but I almost wanted it to be even like darker and just like really have more of a bite to it. It was almost more upbeat than I was expecting at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of reflect my own reaction is kind of similar to, I think, both of yours, which is that it is really well shot, and it's beautiful to look at and listen to. And it's very brief, but there's nobody that looks better smoking a cigarette than Mads Mikkelsen. He just has that certain vibe about him. And goddamn, this movie made me want to be European so bad. You know what I mean? Like all these guys like sitting around this fancy restaurant and drinking all this nice alcohol, and there's beautiful women everywhere, and it's like nice outside, and there's like lots of greenery, and they all live in nice neighborhoods and drive these cute little European cars. I mean,
it's very walkable.
Yeah. It's not like there's three Exxon Mobils across from five Burger Kings. You know, it's like, you know, it's just I understand it's fictitious and it's a movie, but
right.
There probably are parts of Scandinavia that are like this, and you know, it was just idyllic in some ways. So, like, on the terms of like a movie that through its visuals and through all that makes you want to live there. Like, I loved watching this movie on that perspective. I'm right there with you guys with the plot, where I'm like, I don't know what you guys thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, what you're like four smart, like, you know, Mads Mikkelsen. They talk about like he is going to get his PhD. It's like you're four smart guys. Did you all not think that, like maybe it was a good idea to go to 0.05, but like as soon as they like doubled it and they went to, you know, 0.10, I was like, why? And, like, what are you guys doing? Everything is already better for you at 0.05.
Yeah. And even go ahead, Neil.
Like they didn't even like if you were to take this from like a scientific perspective, like you know, they're bad scientists because like they have like one day of being at 0.5 and they're like, guys, we need to go further. Like,
Yeah.
slow your roll, Nikolai.
Yeah, and it gets even more absurd when they craft those like really fancy like New Orleans drinks or like pure alcohol with the fancy like ice ball and everything. And he's like, we gotta get to like Oblivion. Like we got I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You need to get like just belligerent, just totally blackout drunk for like what? Like it's like it's like you literally typed a paragraph and that's like, okay, this is what we're doing. We're gonna just like full send, full commit. It is very ridiculous with that and just like goofy.
Yeah, I mean, like when I was trying to think of like, okay, what is this movie trying to say, right? About like being a middle-aged man or what? Like when I was thinking about the movie and my own experience with experiences with alcohol, it's like I'm not much of a drinker really at all. Like I've been drunk maybe 3 or 4 times, like properly blitzed like 3 or 4 times in my life. Like it just hardly ever really happens. And I concur that. Like I always like if I'm gonna play out, like I'm gonna play at a gig, a music gig, I always have 2 drinks right before like before I go on because I feel like those two like really loosen me up and it helps me relax and I'm a little looser on stage. And there so there I completely agree with these guys that there is some truth to that, like it makes you more socially comfortable and it makes you outgoing and you know it loosens you up. That's all definitely true. But I also know from my very limited experience that, like, obviously, you know, there's a peak and then you go off the peak. Like, it's like 2 and I'm good. I'm like right here. And any more than that, I can't play anymore. So, like, these guys surely know that. Like, what are these guys fucking thinking with going way over 0.05, which is already like the equivalent of like 4 drinks or about the size that these guys are? So, like the whole premise, and you know, I don't mean to get caught up so much on like logic or whatever, but the whole premise just seems like, what are these guys trying to prove with all this? It seems very silly to me from that perspective. Not that I didn't enjoy it; I still enjoyed it. It was just like I didn't get what the more artful message of the movie was. Is the message like, if you drink a little, it might help, but if you drink too much, it's not going to help. Like, everybody knows that.
Yeah, I almost wondered if it was just kind of showing by them doing this weird like experiment or whatever, like showing the way people can have different relationships with alcohol, like depending on the circumstance or like situation. Like they're celebrating at the end, they have a drink for their friend that passes away. It's like, yeah, obviously it's like helping with Mads' like marriage for a bit and different things like that. And it, obviously his like class and everything is being like threatened by the parents. But I don't know. Yeah, I guess I didn't really think too much about like the overall. Are they really trying to say anything with this? Is it just trying to present it? Is it just like an interesting, funny idea and they just kind of wanted to show that off? I don't know.
What do you think, Neil? I mean, you're pretty good at reading into like the underlying literature of a given movie. I was kind of curious like what you were going to take away from this.
I don't know like that I have a particularly deep understanding of this one. I will say just as an addendum that the movie is in Danish, so it's or did, is there a sub or a dub that you guys watched?
No, I just
No.
subtitles.
Okay, so
Yeah,
subtitles.
subtitles.
So yeah, it is in Danish, and like Danish is enough of a Danish and English have enough of like shared history that like the structure of sentences is generally the same. But like I do think that a lot of like the what are meant to be more dramatic moments are kind of lost. When Mads has that like fight with his wife while he's drunk. Like I had trouble reading his emotions. There are a few times where like I think it's meant to be more impactful and it just didn't come across to me, even though Mads is like a great actor on so many fronts. which I want to come back to in a minute, but I guess like my takeaway was for three of the four guys, alcohol was I think at least particularly for Mads, somewhat for Nikolai, and then there's the third guy who's not the gym teacher, who I think he's the psychology teacher.
Yeah.
But particularly for Mads and Nikolai, drinking wasn't the solution or the problem in their lives. I think the movie's trying to show like particularly for Mads, him being like disconnected from his family, like not really engaging in life was the problem. And alcohol kind of threw that into relief. But for Tommy, he goes off the deep end like super quickly. And it was one of those weird like pacing parts of the movie where like his stash gets found out by like the other gym teacher or whoever, like immediately.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, like it's like 30 minutes into the movie, like they're already like on the verge of getting caught.
Yeah.
Which might have been like a foreshadowing because it is Tommy, and you know, like it's not just the janitor doesn't just find one bottle of hooch, he finds two and a flask. So Tommy was probably like going too hard too soon to begin with.
Well, didn't he find like even more? Because wasn't he like pulling out more and more out of like different like hidey holes and things? And
yeah, I mean, as I remember it, like he confronts Tommy, like, "Hey, look, I found this bottle of scotch in the supply closet. Oh, look, there's a flask. Oh, here's another bottle. There's probably something significant there that kind of just went over my head."
Yeah, I'm. That's kind of what I'm thinking. I raw dogged this movie, and I didn't read interpretations, or I didn't read like Letterboxd about what it's supposed to be about. So, I don't know. I'd be interested to read a little bit more about that. I was surprised how little came of the whole like school investigation. That ended up like not really being much of anything. I mean, you get to the end, and the principal's like, "All right, people are drinking while they're." You know, on the clock, and then Tommy stumbles in, but we don't really get closure on that, right? Like Tommy just.
Well, it's almost like, does it cut like way later?
Yeah, there are time jumps in this movie that they're not extremely clear about.
Agreed. Like
that happens with Mads, and like all he like has the fight with his wife, and then two scenes later, it's like they've been divorced for a year or something like that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like when they're at the restaurant and she was like, "Well, that was a long time ago." I'm like, "Really? It doesn't seem like that long ago."
Yeah.
I just saw you.
It can't have been that long because it's the same graduating class that he worked with. Right. So it's within like
right.
a school year. I think that when she says it was a long time ago, I think she's referring to like that like they've been sort of estranged, even though they're living in the same house and being married
for
I see. Okay. But still, I think there was a bit of a time jump there that I wasn't completely aware of. Just like weird little things like that. You know, I feel like when I'm talking about this movie, it sounds like I'm setting up for like a one or a two. Like I really didn't like it, but I did like it. I just have like a million like little weird nitpicks of things that it's like, what the hell even is this movie? But I found myself very enraptured by it.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's like, I don't know if I have a whole too much to say about it, but I did enjoy it pretty much the whole time. I was never really bored. There were certain scenes I really, really liked, just like, you know, Mads drinking, putting on the record, just kind of contemplating things, thinking. Or like them all dancing together and having a lot of fun. Obviously, like what you mentioned earlier, just the kind of idyllic or like romanticized like area that they live in just seeming really cool. And this is one thing that's really fun about, not watching just like a standard, movie made in America or blockbuster or whatever. Just kind of exploring different languages of film, I guess you could say, or foreign films.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like it is just kind of strange, and their plan is just so like not even bare bones. It's like they could have wrote this on a napkin.
Yeah.
That one guy is like, you're in charge of make sure we don't lose this napkin because that's the whole plan.
Do you guys think, like, when I was booting up the movie and during the opening credits, it's like this film was financed by the European Union? I was like, God, Jesus Christ, here we go. Like, there's not going to be any explosions in this movie, and there's going to be a lot of snooty people drinking snooty drinks.
That's one thing I do want to comment on is, like, I enjoyed when they were like having that segment where they make like the really strong cocktail. Like there were parts of this that I was like romantic for, like the opening sequence with the kids having their case race around the lake. Like, okay, 5 years ago that probably would have been fun for me. And also one thing to note is like the more lax relationship with alcohol as a society that Denmark seems to have. It seems like the seniors are drinking
Yeah.
and it's totally legal and that's fine, which is probably just like a European thing. But
Yeah. Specifically, I think Scandinavians are pretty big into their alcohol because, like, I mean, look at like Minnesota and Wisconsin, right? Like, and in Wisconsin, I don't know if you know this, Gideon, but minors can drink in bars as long as they're with their parents.
Whoa.
It's like
No.
totally, it's thought
That's
of as being
crazy.
like very, very acceptable because there's like such a huge Scandinavian and like drinking heritage like
Wow.
up here in the north. So yeah, you can get away, and of course, like when you're out ice fishing and stuff like that, like nobody's checking IDs.
Right. They're like, okay, bud.
But just to finish my thought, like the I there were parts of this that I thought were like really fun with the drinking, and then like at other points the guys are just like taking pulls, or like Nikolai's like even like snorts Smirnoff,
Yeah.
and I was like, D guys, like th j j j you can enjoy this too. You don't have to just
Yeah.
you don't have to just raw dog Smirnoff vodka. Like I get that
Oh
it's
my God.
efficient, but oh Lord, oh, you're just gonna get gut rot. Oh my.
Yeah. And like when I was watching those guys and like the way that they were like fumbling, I was like, you guys are so bad at being sneaky, dude. I'm like, yeah, you're eating like a bunch of mints, but then you got like alcohol on your beard and on your shirt. Like they're gonna smell that. And then the guy, it's like, don't you have a fucking desk you can lock this shit up in? Like, why is it just like all throughout? Okay, we're getting the wrestling mats out, and then a bottle like falls and breaks practically. Like, it's like if I was in that group, I'd be like, he's out because he's gonna take us all down, and we won't be able to do this. It, yeah.
I think my favorite scene in the entire movie was the guy whose birthday it was at the beginning of the movie,
Nikolai.
Nikolai, coming home like piss ass drunk and then peeing on his kid.
And his wife, right? Yeah.
Okay, let's be clear for the audience that he didn't like just whip it
No,
out and
this
pee
wasn't
on
like an
his
R.
kid.
Kelly kind of
No.
situation. No, this is like he climbed
He
into
passed
bed like
out. Yeah.
with his like kid, his wife's in the bed or whatever. He passes out and he just pisses the bed, and then he like pulls the entire mattress off the bed like onto the floor to use as a blanket, which is so awesome. That whole scene was so funny.
Well, even that was he wasn't going back to sleep though, right? Because then they woke up and they had, it's like, okay, it's time to get ready. Like they gotta go to start their day or whatever. It's like, so does he just have to do, didn't she have to drive him or something? It's like he
That's
has
what a
to just
nightmare.
be drunk and sober
Yeah.
up.
God, what a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Like I don't like drinking. I don't like being drunk for that reason. It's like
Yeah. I enjoy drinking socially or like enjoying a drink, like watching a movie or playing games, especially if I'm like chatting with friends. But yeah, it's just like way too often than not. It's just like not worth it for me. Like
Well,
fight
and you
the
know,
war.
again, it's like, where is everybody's self-control in this movie? Because being at that, like, I've had two, is a really great, fun Friday, Saturday night dinner kind of feeling. Like, there's nothing better than a huge plate of awesome Mexican food and having like two margaritas, and you're just like goofy. You know, you're not drunk. Like, you could probably even still drive, but you're just like a little
Ice bound.
sauce. That's like a really great feeling, and it makes a meal way better. Anything over that is like, Neil, you know, man, well, I took you to Manny's Steakhouse that one time you were in Minneapolis. I accidentally got super drunk there one time. Like, the last time I was there was with a friend, and they were pouring really heavy that night, and I hadn't had anything to drink, and I drank like two or three of these old fashions that were, they were poured like, it was like pure gasoline. And I was like asleep at the table by the time the cheesecake came out. And that's way too much money to be spending on food for you to like not remember anything about the evening. Just, so I don't even, I just like don't understand the character motivations in this movie very well, I guess.
Well, also, like, he was asking one of his students, like, how many drinks he had a week, and he was saying, like, 50. I was like, 50?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm guessing they go to the pub or whatever and, like, hang out with their friends and just get them there. But I'm like, how cheap is this? Like, how much does this cost, dude? 50 drinks? 55? It's like,
Yeah.
holy shit, man.
Yeah. It's a lot of lettuce to,
I
and
remember
we
the.
well, go ahead, Neil.
I was gonna say the bottle race at the beginning. I remember the winners get the bottle deposits. So,
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, I
I'm
think
sure that pays for it.
this, it's like seeing old ads from the 70s or the early 80s when all our dads were in high school or whatever, and you see that a 12-pack of Coors Light was like 35 cents or something like that. Just like these ridiculously low prices, things like that.
Incredible.
What else do we want to talk about with this movie? I'm struggling to think of things because nothing happens except these guys get drunk and try to sneak it off at work.
I mean, I really like the camera work. I feel like it had a really nice, subtle way of just kind of ebbing and flowing between like different characters. Or like the way I feel like it kind of like moved to his kids, maybe when he had like stormed out. Or when one of his sons had to help, like pick him up off the street and walk him home. So that was one thing I really enjoyed about it. I mean, even though I am kind of iffy on the ending on the whole, it was still a blast, like seeing Mads like dance like crazy like he did,
Yeah, that was great. That was
and
crazy.
it felt like a scene that's like, okay, I need to pick me up, like let's put this on. But yeah, I don't know. It was interesting, even I guess, like the gym teacher Tommy, where he's kind of like subtly envious of Mads, and he's like, "You and Annika, like it was always you two." And he's basically saying like the single bachelor life sucks, dude. Like it's not worth it. Like you got a good thing going. But it. Go
Sorry,
ahead.
go ahead, good.
I was just gonna say it's like. It's kind of hard for me to have much empathy for how sloppy this guy was. Like, and just how he's like, yeah, stumbling into that meeting while they're like seriously discussing like somebody's been drinking at the school. And I'm like, okay, buddy, like, I don't know, man.
You know what other movie this
Kind of give me a little bit of whiplash, I guess you could say, with that. And then the really upbeat ending with all the students and stuff.
In Fight Club when Jared Leto's trying to get into the into the club and they're like, "You're too fucking blonde," right? That was me with every character in this movie. There was so many freaking extremely like level 9 pale blonde people. It almost reminded me of like Midsommar in that way. Of course, I mean it's Scandinavia, so I get what the connection is, but I don't know, Neil. Any other burning topics you want to bring up around this movie?
Two thoughts. Number one, Like I think that the three of us are just a little too young to really connect with the characters here. I think that like in some ways we might like have like proto connections. But you know, like none of us are at the point where we're getting a divorce. None of us have really had to settle into the bachelor lifestyle. Cough, cough. You know, like I just think we're like a decade too early to like really appreciate some of the feelings that these guys are going through.
Yeah. Well, and a decade too early for even the youngest guy in the group.
Yeah, we're like we don't have kids. We're not being threatened with a divorce. We haven't like totally stagnated at our jobs. It's just. I guess we're probably just not like the target audience for this.
I also was considering, like, do we think that there's maybe something to be said about, like, is there like a cultural Danish thing that we're not understanding?
I'd be willing to bet that there's something involved there.
Yeah.
On a less like film analysis thing, just. It was fun to see Mads doing some of his like I'm probably gonna misrepresent this, but it's my understanding that Mads Mikkelsen went to like clown college. He like him dancing is not out of the ordinary for him. Like he's actually like a very talented physical person.
Okay.
What did you guys ever watch a show called Hannibal? I think it was on like
I
NBC.
know that he's in it, but I haven't seen it. I've
Yeah,
seen like one or two episodes.
he plays a younger Hannibal Lecter before The Silence of the Lambs. And there are a couple and the show does a really fun job of like presenting like food porn basically, you know, just like people preparing food to a really high degree. Of course, it's then offset by the fact that it's people because it's Mads Mikkelsen cooking. But there are a couple of scenes where like they were trying to find like a hibachi artist to do certain things, and Mads is like, oh no, I can do that. So like at one point he like tosses an egg in the air and like catches it on the blade of his spatula. So that the egg leaks down, but like it doesn't cut all the way through the egg, so the shell doesn't get like he's been very talented in that way, apparently. So it was fun to see him like doing the dance numbers. It's not a dance number, but like
I know what you
him
mean.
doing
All
like
the
the physical parts of the acting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, absolutely. He's just a, you know, he's a good-looking dude, and he's just got a such a great you know, a certain charisma about him. It made him so perfect for Casino Royale. It made him
Oh,
perfect for Death
so
Stranding, and it
good.
makes him perfect for stuff like this.
I would love to do Casino Royale sometime.
Yeah. I've
Dude.
never seen it all the way through. I've seen like the first like 45 minutes, and that's it.
Okay. I don't think Alyssa's seen it. Man, I think it'd be really interesting to watch. This movie just makes me want to watch more of his stuff. 'Cause yeah, like I said, I really haven't seen much at all. I do want to really applaud the like drunk acting that they did. I don't know if they were actually
Pretty
drinking
good.
or anything on the set.
I think I saw I was watching on Amazon and it's got the little
Oh, the
info bits
actually.
on the side. I believe that it said that no actual alcohol was consumed during like
Oh.
the making of the movie.
Okay, well.
That's pretty
Well
impressive.
then,
I mean, people did a
yeah.
good job.
That was definitely impressive. Like,
I really like that little montage of all the political figures that were sauced.
yeah,
That
that
was
was
cool.
so funny. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's part of the message, right? It's like he keeps doing that in his history class, right? He's like, do you want the sober person or the alcoholic? And it's like, well, you just picked Hitler over Winston Churchill, you know, whatever. And then they show that the montage of all the political figures either drinking or giving a speech while intoxicated. And it's like big figures. It's like Leonid Brezhnev and things like that. It's very, very funny.
And I think like as much as it's like sad that Tommy dies of, I wasn't I, okay. Quick question for your guys' interpretation: did he fall out of the boat and drown, or did he jump off of the boat to drown himself?
That's a good question. Because I was kind of wondering, I'm like, did he also bring his dog just to like die at sea with him? Or was he hoping the dog was gonna get rescued? I think he probably just like purposely fell in. I don't
Yeah.
think it was an
I don't
accident.
know. I think I had the same question pass through my mind at the end, and I just ignored it because I felt like it didn't matter all that much. But yes, to make my final point, it's sad that Tommy dies, but I don't think the film blames alcohol per se, because there's also the subplot where there's the repeating a year student who the psychology teacher gives him a bottle of vodka
Oh, we
to
forgot
help him
about
through the
that.
test, and apparently it helps. So it's not like it's trying to moralize that alcohol is always bad.
Right.
I think it's more kind of like the argument some people make about guns, like it's a tool and it can be used for good or bad.
I think if anything, like that's the lesson that I take away from the movie is that like a little bit is can be a powerful tool to relax you and get rid of your anxieties and turn you into a better version of yourself temporarily, but like it is a power you must wield with a great amount of respect and discipline because it can obviously get like way out of hand as we see in the movie. So,
Yeah.
how's that getting? Go ahead. It sounds like you're about to say something.
I mean, I'm glad Neil brought up that teacher relationship with the very like anxious, nervous kid who was super nervous about taking his studies. I was like, God, I was like, if giving him alcohol during school hours and like encouraging him, be like, oh, take another sip, like, oh, give me one. I'm like, that plus all this like touching you're doing, I'm like, so many just like alarm bells and red flags. I'm like, stop touching this kid. Stop doing these things.
I thought that too about the gym teacher putting his arm around Specs. The
Oh,
little
yeah.
I
Oh.
thought that too. And it obviously it's not in a bad way. It's just that you realize that I think Denmark is much more high trust and closely knit and tighter knit than we are here. And I don't know how many people live in Denmark, but not many, right? It's like the size of a medium-sized US city probably. And so that kind of thing is acceptable there, where it's like giving a student alcohol. I don't want to say it's acceptable, but it's not like the end of the world. And comforting a little kid and putting your arm around him and say it's going to be all right, Specs, you're going to get a gold next time is like totally okay. It's like, I don't think of it as creepy. I think of it as like that's the world we probably would want to live in if everything was perfect and
Yeah.
higher
Everything was
trust
fine.
society. Not higher trust society, right? And,
If things were a little more hunky dory, yeah.
yeah, I don't mean that in, necessarily a bad way. I just mean that you see in their society the remnants of what ours was at a certain point, and it's hard not to miss it, even though, I probably have never really lived in that world. I think I'm about ready to give a score. I would rather wrap up early than go on for 15 minutes about stuff that we don't have anything to say about.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because I don't think I've got anything else. I feel like
No,
we covered pretty much.
we covered everything that I can think of with this movie. So, Neil, how about you give us a score first?
I struggled with this one, and I think I had to sort of moralize a little bit to myself, and I'm just gonna say to the audience that I think sometimes we as a pod, we start to think of threes as saying we don't like the movie, and that's not true. Three is like a perfectly acceptable movie, and I think that's where I have to put this. It's not a four. It's definitely not a five, but there's some beautiful shots. The acting is well done. I was entertained. I was watching the whole movie. I didn't feel like the need to quit, and I feel better for having watched it. I don't know when I would want to watch it again, but it was a perfectly acceptable use of my Tuesday evening.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I'm landed right at about a three. I was pulled through. I was engaged by the movie. I wasn't like leaving the. My mother-in-law always says that what she knows that she likes a movie, or she knows that she doesn't like a movie when she finds herself back in the movie theater. Right? She's like, her eyes wander beyond the 4 inches of the screen. Right? And she's like not contained within the box anymore. And I found myself like completely enthralled by the box and forgetting where I was, you know, throughout large swaths of the movie. So it wasn't like I didn't like it. It was just, I don't think the central story is incredibly compelling.
No.
But I and there's like not a whole lot of character stuff to grab. There's just like not a lot here, you know what I mean? That said, like what was here was of a really good quality, and it was beautiful to look at, and lots of good looking people, and it sounds great, and you know, there's some stuff to like about it. So, you know, I'd give it like a middling review, which would be a three. So I think that sounds completely fair. What about you, kid?
Yeah, I was pretty split on this one too, and I was excited to watch it, and I'm glad I watched it. I'm gonna probably land on a light four, but it's more like based on just my overall enjoyment. Like, really liked all the performances. I really liked it visually. I just was very entertained. I didn't think it was boring. I didn't think it really drug on or anything. I would like to revisit it. I think it's pretty easy to recommend for most people, even if they don't really watch like a lot of foreign films or English speaking films or whatever you want to say. But yeah, it does. You could ask me, in a couple hours, I'd be like, yeah, it is a three. You know, like, and I probably sound redundant how many fours I give out, but it's like, I don't know. I just had a lot of fun with it, and I can't really knock it on too much. And I do think it's like great, but it's great in the way that like a three can be great, or like, so I don't know. It could go really either way with me, but I think I'll leave it as a life four. Yeah.
I feel like it's I don't mean milquetoast necessarily in a bad way, but it's just it's too milquetoast to be like, who's gonna give this a one and who's gonna give it a five? You know what I mean? I can't imagine anybody giving it a five or a one. In the same way that like a similar movie about alcoholism, like Leaving Las Vegas, was like a really great, much, much better movie.
It just like it felt like a little bit a cut above just like an average or kind of run of the mill movie, with this kind of subject matter or just this kind of style of movie, I think. And that's, I think, why I landed where I landed with it. But yeah, I don't know.
Well,
Glad
guys,
you.
so I think, is it my turn to pick for next week?
I think so.
Yeah, I think
Okay.
so.
Well, as I said last week, I want to follow through with my commitment. I really want to do the 2007 Speed Racer movie.
Hell yeah.
I've never seen it before. Neil, have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch this. I've heard like there's a Gideon, right? There's like a big cult following of this movie on the internet,
Oh,
right?
for sure. This is, yeah, definitely a cult classic for a lot of people. It's by the Wachowskis who did The Matrix. It is, in my opinion, and I saw it again for the first time since a kid, like about a year ago. But it is such a fascinating movie, strictly from the technical standpoint of CGI, especially at the time. So I'm very curious to talk about that and hear your guys' experiences with it.
You know, this is one of the first movies that I remember ever being advertised as a Blu-ray release.
Oh yeah, and this desperately needs a 4K. The Blu-ray looks great.
Yeah.
It still looks really good. I can totally vouch for that. But this thing would fucking sparkle like crazy on
Yeah.
a 4K.
Okay. I'm excited. Yeah, maybe I'll order the fork the Blu-ray disc and give that a whirl.
Yeah, I think it'd be worth it. It's probably not too much, I don't think.
Something I want to ask. I know Gideon, I know you're down for this. Something I want to ask Neil is we're thinking about doing another game episode, but surrounding a playthrough of the game Super Metroid, which would be something incredibly easy to emulate if you were interested in playing it with us. And it's like 5, 6 hours long. It's not very long.
I
You don't
could
have
give
to
it a
commit to
shot
that.
there.
You don't have to commit to it now, but I would love to have you on a game-centric pod. So think about it, and you know, Well, we can figure out a way for you to properly play it. I'm going to go out this weekend looking for a physical copy of Super Metroid, to some of the retro stores around St. Paul, and see if I can't scrounge up a copy. I've got some birthday Christmas cash I need to burn off.
How much does it run usually?
It is not a super expensive
Okay.
Super Nintendo game. It's usually like $60 or $70.
That's not horrible, honestly.
No.
I thought it was gonna be way worse.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing about Super Nintendo games is there's only 20 or 30 really notable Super Nintendo games that are above like $50. It's your Mario RPGs, your Link to the Past, your Castlevanias, like the big name game, Super Metroid's in there. But then there's only like, let's say those are down here. There's only like two or three that are up in the, you're going to pay several hundred dollars for a copy of this. Like Earthbound is there and Chrono Trigger is there. But
Okay.
outside of that, it's like, unless something is like in the box, you're not going to really pay that much
Okay.
money. Yeah, so maybe I'll go looking for a copy of Super Metroid. What are you guys doing with the rest of your evenings?
Probably just gonna hang out with Alyssa. We've been really grinding out Adventure Time lately. We got past the halfway mark, which is really fucking awesome when the lich really pops off.
Okay.
And man, that shit is incredible. So we're in like season five, like episode four now. So we might do more of that. Probably just watch some stuff on YouTube or play some Marvel Rivals or something.
Okay, cool. How about you, Neil?
So I'm actually p paying a professional cleaner to come in tomorrow. Like, I don't think that I'm a particularly like gross person, but I just feel like I've been in this apartment for a few years. Let's just have a professional take a look and see if there's anything that, like, for lack of a better term, my boy
My
brain
boy
just
brain.
doesn't
Yeah, I
register.
get it. Yeah, boy brain,
Kind of a fresh start to the year.
certainly a
I
thing.
see.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it.
So I'll just be doing the preparatory cleaning, making sure that counters are clear,
You're
that
not
kind of
gonna
stuff.
pull one of the, they come in and you're like, oh great, you're here, and then you grab the trash bag and you like dump it
Empty
on
it on the
the
ground.
middle of the room.
No,
Yeah.
I'm not that
Work.
modern.
Gotta get all the jizz rags cleaned up, Neil.
Oh.
They don't want to be dealing with that.
Cut that.
I'm not cutting that out. We keep it real. We keep it real on Sigma Cinema.
Yeah. Only
Every
Sigma.
once in a while, I mention this podcast to somebody at work, and they're like, "You should link me to that." I'm like, "That's okay.
I don't think so. We're
That's not gonna happen."
not that close.
So,
We're not
yeah.
doing that.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna go play more Ghostwire.
Nice.
I just it's cool, but I'm very early on. I gotta like get more used to it. I like all the like sick little Naruto finger
Oh yeah.
movements the guy does. It's so cool.
It's fucking cool.
Grace and I are like at the at very end of the third season of Silicon Valley as well, so we're
Oh
kind of working
nice,
our
yeah.
way through that. I've convinced my mother we're gonna start a Twin Peaks watching club. So I've seen a little bit of Twin Peaks. I know some of the broad strokes, but I have a hard time committing to television shows. So I will I'm going to use that as an excuse to watch that. And I'm also committing that this is the year I'm going to watch Cowboy Bebop. So
Nice.
do that
Well,
as
that's
well.
pretty short, right? Like
Yeah, that's like
27
one or two
episodes,
seasons.
something
It's
like that.
one season.
One, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
All right, guys.
technically
Well,
a movie, but I wouldn't watch the movie personally.
does the movie suck?
No, it's just like I just think that the original season is just self-contained and perfect.
That's all you
And then
need.
like the movie came out later and it's like set sometime during the season. It's just superfluous. I think
It's
it's probably
always
totally fine. But I think that self-contained season is perfect.
all right, guys. Well, I will I'll see you guys next week. I'm sure we'll play a WoW between then and now.
For sure.
So, yeah, peace out, guys.
Take
Have a
care,
good one,
guys.
boys. Later.